Technorama, episode 389 for November 6, 2013, How to Care and Feed a Replicant.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Let's see, colanders, wire whisk. Say, where do you keep your spatulas?
Over there, in the media corner.
I should have gone to Spatula City.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts to disregard all safety rules. Here's your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
Welcome to Technorama for November 6, 2013. This is the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. If this is your first time listening to Technorama, thank you for joining us. If you're a returning listener, welcome back. We appreciate giving us your time. I am Chuck Tomasi, and with me as always is Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
Man, I am fantastic. How are you doing today?
I'm tastic, but I have no fans. You know, this show has no fans.
You got plenty of fans, man.
We're non-fantastic.
Non-fantastic.
Fandango. I am in San Diego, speaking of Fandango.
Are you vacationing or are you working?
I am working.
Oh.
In fact, I was just downstairs at the restaurant bar thing with some coworkers unexpectedly. And had a wonderful time, but I said, I'm sorry, I have to go take a call. And they said, what, are you working? And I said, no, I'm doing that other job that doesn't pay.
Yeah, right. But it's called podcasting. Which interestingly starts with the same letter as pay. But
and payroll and parole and
that's right.
Many other words that start with P. But we're not here to talk about work. We're here to talk about fun, nerdy stuff. Coming up in this episode, we have cyborgs, physics, and I guess we're taking an artistic slant. We're talking about Thomas Kincaid this week. All that and much more coming up in this episode of Technorama, so stick around!
Whee!
Oh, it works.
Yes, I got it back. I got every bit of it.
It's small, fast, does hex and block edits. But
oh, that's a good idea. I didn't think about that last time.
We're your geek morning show.
That's the thing about podcasts. We can be up anytime.
Don't listen to this while operating heavy machinery. You could spit out your water. I wonder what you'd get. Okay, I'm going to stop right there and make my comment.
Hey, wake me up when you're done.
I completely missed that one.
The writers of Back to the Future didn't see that one coming. Thanks, man. I had to think about that.
Hi, this is Brian from Coverville, and you're listening to Chuck and Craig from Technorama.
Welcome back to Technorama. This is, I already said all that part about the fun and geek stuff. Should we do the history thing right away?
Yeah, let's go and get the history out of the way.
Let's put history in the past.
Put it where it belongs.
On this day in history for November 6, 2013. This is November 6th. It's the 310th day of the year in the Gregorian calendar. There are just 55 days remaining in 2013. It was on this date in 1528 that shipwrecked Spanish conquistador Alvar Nunez Cabeza de Vaca, isn't that cow's head? Becomes the first known European to set foot in Tejas.
Tejas. And it was also on the same date in 1865 that the CSS Shenandoah is the last Confederate combat unit to surrender after circumnavigating the globe on a cruise on which it sank or captured 37 unarmed merchant vessels.
They found out a little late. Hey, the war is over. Oh, we were on a round the world cruise.
Oh, yeah.
Also today, in 1935, Edwin Armstrong presents his paper, A Method of Reducing Disturbances in Radio Signaling by a System of Frequency Modulation. My goodness, can we make a longer title?
Yeah, no kidding.
To the New York section of Institute of Radio Engineers.
Wow, that whole thing was long. And first flight of the Hawker Hurricane was on this date in 1935.
Parker Brothers acquires the Forerunner patents for Monopoly from Elizabeth Maggie on that same date in 1935.
And plutonium is the first produced... I'm sorry, I was going to say something about Doc Brown there, but... No.
I was going to say something about Mickey Mouse's dog, but okay.
Plutonium is first produced at the Hanford Atomic Facility and subsequently used in the Fat Man atomic bomb dropped on Nagasaki, Japan. What year was that?
I'll tell you.
It's 1944.
And 42 years ago today, the United States Atomic Energy Commission tests the largest U.S. underground hydrogen bomb, codenamed Kanakin. Is that... like Darth Vader when he was a little boy?
It's his cousin.
On Amchitka Island in the Aleutians. Hmm. Didn't the Russians test theirs just a couple weeks ago?
Yeah, the skinny boy.
They had a cooler name than Kanakin.
I know.
Happy birthday goes on this day to actor Sally Field, who turns 67.
And born on the same date 2 years later, singer-songwriter, guitarist for the Eagles, actor... and actor, excuse me, Glenn Frey.
Turning 58 today, journalist and wife of Arnold Schwarzenegger, Maria Shriver.
And finally, celebrating his 55th birthday today, the man who played Dr. Clay Forrester and voiced Crow T-Robot on MST3K, Trace Bilou.
Polio. Put it phonetically for you, man.
Dang it. Oh, I see. I skipped through the parentheses because I thought it wasn't worth anything.
And for what it's worth, Saturday, November 9th is Dr. Carl Sagan's birthday. So wear a turtleneck sweater or something.
Yeah. And say, use the word billions all over the time, right?
Right. And that's the way it was on this day.
He's getting choked up. Swallow some history.
And that's the way it was on this day in history for November 6th, 2013.
Let that be a lesson, kids. You can't inhale history.
You know, it's been a long time since I did a podcast from a hotel room. Yeah, I can only imagine what people walking outside the hallway are hearing and wondering.
Yeah, what is he doing in there? Hey, it wouldn't be the weirdest thing done in a hotel room.
Search for Technorama on Google.
Yeah.
There's my blatant advertising.
Yeah.
Good news, nobodies.
In the news, we have Captain Kirk to command a Navy destroyer.
Yeah. Now,
this title has everything that screams Technorama at you, doesn't it?
No. It's like they put up the naval flag to, you know, signal us to come to this.
Please. The commander of the U.S. Navy's sleek new guided missile destroyer, which launched last week in Maine, has a name to match its space-age look. They're calling the ship Captain Kirk.
No, the captain is.
Oh, has a name. Oh, okay. Captain James Kirk, the prospective commanding officer of USS Zumwalt. That's the name of the ship, Zumwalt?
I know. I know the Russians got all the cool names.
That sounds like it was put together by a cordless drill.
Zumwalt.
We'll leave a 610-foot
vessel. They picked it up at Home Depot.
Right. Or Lowe's.
Yeah.
The Navy's largest destroyer and first of three new Zumwalt class ships. Oh, great. There's a whole class of these things.
Hmm.
Designed for... littoral operations and land attack, the Navy said. Kirk, a native of Bethesda, Maryland. No, he grew up in Iowa. Everybody knows that.
Idaho. I'm sorry.
Idaho.
I'm just kidding.
Dude.
I'm just kidding. I know it's Iowa.
Craig is not canon. Was commissioned at the U.S. Naval Academy in 1990 and has served a variety of posts as a surface war officer, according to his online bio. Ashore, Captain Kirk loves moonlight walks on the beach.
I know, I saw that coming.
Captain Kirk has served as executive assistant to the Naval's Chief of Legislative Affairs and has an action officer. Is that like an action figure?
Yeah.
On the joint staff.
Hmm.
Kirk obtained his master's degree in national security studies. I feel like we're reading a bio here.
Hmm.
Well, the ship.
Yeah.
Which was moved from dry dock in Bath, Maine, to a pier on Kennebec River on Friday, is loaded with new technologies, including radar reflecting angles, a striking inward sloping tumble home hull, and advanced gun system. This is a rather interesting looking hull. It looks like they assembled the thing upside down.
Actually, you know what I thought of? I kept trying to put my finger on it, and because it looked oddly familiar, at least the shape. It reminds me of like the battleship ships.
It does. It kind of does.
It looks like the number two.
A red peg on the front.
It looks like the one with the two or the three, the two.
Right.
Yeah.
The destroyer or something. When it's out of the, yeah. Even when it's in the water, it looks like that.
Yeah. It has a nice little cutting look to it, which I think was kind of cool.
Great. We're now modeling our real destroyers after a 50-year-old game.
Hey, by the way, you know, I wonder how odd the name James Kirk is, because not far from here, there was an airfield. And I guess the guy's still working it. But there was a guy there that would own the airfield. And there's a bed and breakfast there as well. So seaplanes can come in and land on the lake. So he owns all this whole little thing, an airstrip and the bed and breakfast. And his name was Jim Kirk.
Oh.
And he taught pilots as well, you know, like flight and stuff. So I was like,
yeah,
wonder how odd that name actually is.
Well, his second in command won't be named Spock, according to the Navy. It's Commander Jeffrey W. Hickox.
Hey, this just in, Wilcox has changed his name to Spock. Changed it to McCoy.
We have some interesting news, don't we? Well, listener birthday calendar. Let's turn to the listener birthday calendar because we have some birthdays this month. Yes.
By the way, let's make a note that if you had trouble getting to our wiki, it wasn't our fault. We promise.
Yeah, something is up. We're working on changing the wiki because Wet Paint, who has hosted our wiki for a while now, what, like 5 years?
Yeah.
Suddenly up and changed it without letting us know. How dare they?
Well, I wouldn't say they didn't let anybody know, but they didn't contact us specifically. But on their website, we started seeing some notices that we were talking about. Oh, DNS this, DNS that. We're making changes. And I'm like, I had no idea. So I don't know if it was just getting thrown in the spam or what.
And now it's what, a celebrity blog or something?
Well,
what
is it? Yeah, they were changing the main wiki site. It's like some kind of celebrity blog or wiki. Anyway, I don't know, but they moved our site to another domain, so that was where the confusion was. You can still get to it now, and you can add
stuff. Can you? Where is it? I mean, have you redirected the Technorama wiki link?
Yeah, if you go to chucktat.com/wiki, it takes you right there.
Wow, thanks for the plug, man. So I'm going in there now.
So you can go in there.
Chucktat.com/wiki.
I think mostly we use this for birthday calendar, so I may move that and just be
Wiki Foundry. Very cool.
So I may end up changing it anyway. But
look at that. Even my notes and old picture are still there. That was nice of them. Yeah, everything's preserved. So thank you very much, everybody, if you're now contributing to the wiki. Looking at the birthday calendar, we have November 8th is Mark, the Encaffeinated One, host of The Weird Show. Ding!
Go give him some love.
November 8th, we have On the Drift. Happy birthday. And John Noble, not the one from Fringe. Was it this is like 6 weeks ago? How the heck, Craig, is it me or is time flying really fast? Doesn't it seem like we just made that crack like 3 months ago?
I know. Before you know it, it'll be Christmas again.
We need to scrub the wiki because I think some people are in here two or three times a year just for the fun of it.
I'll throw it in a spreadsheet and we can sort it.
Either that or I'm getting really old really fast and time is going way too fast. November 10th, happy birthday, John Noble from the island.
Hey, by the way, I'd say it's a combination of both, probably.
Probably.
Yeah.
November 13th is Pippa from London, UK, and Jennifer Therian from Canada. Happy birthday to both of you, and happy birthday to all of you people who are on our birthday calendar. And if it's your birthday and you're not on the wiki birthday calendar, happy birthday to you. If you want to be on there, as we mentioned already, go to chuckchat.com/wiki and get your name on the calendar.
Make your birth known.
celebrate in one way or another, and we are the other.
Yeah. That's
Link
right.
In the show notes. Hey, thank you very much for updating all of that, Craig, and taking care of that farcical issue that came up.
Oh, no, no problem. I just was a little confusing at first, but you know how it
goes. If you look at the wiki show notes thing, you're going to see a table in there because I copy and pasted it out of Craig's spreadsheet. I thought he just had to salvage the data.
Well, as soon as I saw it, I went cut and paste. Okay, we're good.
I'm glad you got something out of it because I didn't get anything. I went, Craig, help!
Yeah, no kidding.
On to the hacks and stray stories.
Wait, is Lenny there in the hotel room with you?
We're not going to mention anything about that.
Okay.
We have a news about from modelermagic.com. A man who is building a, yes, you guessed it, a full-size Millennium Falcon. This is a work in progress. So you're going to see lots of plywood and other cutouts. It looks like he's working on the cockpit first and maybe some guns. But this is a Greg... What's his name? Greg Dietrich?
Yes.
This build of a full-size Millennium Falcon has my total respect and much of my attention. It is something I have wanted to have on display for some time. And Greg is making one happen. Chris Lee, amazing. Wow, the comments on this thing are kind of hard to read.
Anyway, you just go down and I'm not sure who's building it for who. But there you go, Greg Dietrich here again. Just another update from the full Millennium Falcon build. Believe it or not, that even at all this time, we're still going strong and trying to make this dream a reality. Apparently, they're building this thing from scratch.
This sounds like an interview opportunity to me.
Hmm. Why, yes. And it looks pretty, well, yeah, we'll get to that later, but... This does
how
look pretty cool.
How much did it cost? How long has it taken so far? When do you expect to be done? Mm-hmm. Not that it's like a software release and we're going to hold you to it or anything, but what are you going to do when you're done? Are you actually married? the basic questions. Yeah. But hey, gentle listener, if you have any questions you'd like and we should pursue this, let us know with more than just a yes email that we've seen in the recent past.
You but, know who we're talking about.
One or two of you.
Yeah. Well, but hey, this comment on some of the pictures here, I see the cockpit and it's got the regular trappings with the switches and the lights and everything. It looks really sharp, at least the ones where you get a close up of the console and with the levers that you see right on the top of the Falcon console. What gets me though is, you know, that little black thing that's the only thing that resembles a screen that would give you some data on the Millennium Falcon's.
They haven't put any electronics in it yet.
Well, wait a minute. Okay. Do you see that little screen there, right?
Yeah.
That was the only thing that Han Solo could have been looking at when he was reading up on Cloud City. Yeah.
The thing that looks like it's like a 2x4 display.
Yeah. So I'm like, really? That he was getting that much information from that? Or maybe he was reading the coded lights on the dish.
Right, or on the ceiling.
This is, who knows? Remember we were going over the sci-fi interfaces? Am I back?
The worst UIs ever.
Yeah, no wonder you need an R2 unit to read for that ship. Anyway, go enjoy the pictures. They look really good, and I hope it gets the project done.
Yeah, because we'll I want to sit tuned in it. And see if we can... Get her done.
You know,
keep an eye on that link. We're going to try and contact the author. I think I'm in the mood for another interview.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, you know, a long time ago, and I don't know, I can't remember if I mentioned this or on the show or not, but there was this book. It was it was like a blueprint book of Star Wars stuff, and it had the mm-hmm. Falcon in it, and it had like, you know, a man standing there, like a sketch, like a draft kind of image of the Millennium Falcon. It had a guy standing there showing the ramp, how big it is, how tall it is, and the opening and everything. And then it had the gun turrets where they were sat in. It had the cockpit and all those kind of measurements. And I just daydreamed and I wanted a cockpit like this so bad. And this is it. So I'm going to see where they're at. I'd like to go sit in it after they get it all put together.
You wanted a classic Millennium Falcon cockpit. I wanted a classic Cylon Centurion outfit, but okay.
Outfit? Oh, wait, you want the outfit?
Yeah, the silver.
Oh, I thought you were going to say ship. Okay, yeah, I would. That would be awesome.
Cool. That'd be cool.
So back in the day, you really wanted that?
Yeah, I actually had a dream that I got one.
So you wanted a cosplay way back in the day?
Oh, yeah.
That's pretty cool.
I thought that would be a cool one. And then later, when I got older, I wanted a Borg outfit, but I thought that might be a little warm.
I remember some friends before Battlestar Galactica came out, the show, you know, we saw some pictures and stuff. And I remember talking to some of my friends thinking, oh, this is a ripoff of Star Wars because it looked like a silver Darth Vader. Only saw, you know, in the pictures I saw, I always saw only one Cylon. So you think, oh, he's the bad guy. Well, there's several of them, of course, now we know. But I remember thinking it was a silver Darth Vader. What a ripoff, man.
And then there were the gold ones, too.
Were there gold ones? Yeah, there were a few gold ones. That's right. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. All right, let's move on. We have when you think unicorns, not one of our typical Technorama topics, but when you think unicorns, they usually go together with?
Rainbows.
Exactly. Unicorns and rainbows, everybody's fantasy land. Well, we now have a life-size unicorn cake that has rainbow cake inside it.
He poops Skittles as well. No.
That's pretty much what I'm thinking too. You know, it's not like a horse that, you know, makes the piles. This thing makes little deer turns. A life-size unicorn cake lovingly crafted by Miss Cakehead for National Baking Week. And this is, life-size, and it's more of a pony size.
Yeah, and it's like a pony cake.
it's horn... thing wow. is like the size of a narwhal, man. This thing's like 6 feet long.
No kidding, it's huge.
But you know, if you want to dig in and eat some horse meat, this is the way to go.
Yeah, horse meat.
It's actually a pretty good looking horse.
It's not bad considering it's cake.
Can you imagine serving this at a wedding or something? Here, who wants a leg?
Yeah, who wants the leg? Imagine the kid's excitement that gets the tail end.
Someone's going to end up with a genitalia, I'm telling you.
No.
I tried to put that as delicately as possible.
Speaking of the horn.
Crazy man puts computer inside his arm. Nice segue with that.
Yeah. For what reason? To get porn.
Over at Kotaku.com. Yes, American Tim Cannon is a, quote, biohacker. And he has an unsightly bulge on his arm where he stuck a giant computer chip beneath his skin, which transmits his biometric data to Android devices, which will
looks
be
a little
interesting
reddish,
data and all. But, man, he's got, like, stitches. No doctor would do this for him. The chip is kept safe because it's sealed in protective case. The device is powered via a battery, which can be charged wirelessly. So, hey, at least Tim doesn't have to plug his arm into, you know, a recharger every night, like with our phones. The craziest part about all this is that, as he explains in an interview with Motherboard, no certified doctor could ever perform the operation required to get the chip inside his arm.
There's your first sign.
Right. Because it's nuts. Yeah.
Yeah.
So he instead had to get help from, quote, body modification enthusiasts. These are the kind of people that put, like, the plastic bulbs under your forehead and stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. For the reptile looks and whatnot.
Yeah, yeah. The guy who ended up doing the job was one such enthusiast by the name of Steve Hayworth. Because Steve isn't a medical professional, he wasn't licensed. How? Using open source code, this kind of device called a Circadia is hoping to be on sale sometime toward the end of next year. Installation price not included. Oh, here's an update. A spokesman from Grindhouse Wetwork, the group behind the chip, contacted us to give us more specifics on just why a medical doctor can't perform the operation. Quote, the reason that doctors are not permitted to implant the device is because the AMA states that alteration of the physical form can only be done in pursuit of beauty, which is why body modification experts exist, including ear piercers.
Oh, okay.
So apparently some people don't think it's beautification to put a chip in your arm.
I don't have a problem with like a little RFID chip if you wanted to use that, but
this is a bit much. If you see the picture, it looks like it gets taken.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm getting at, is I'm trying to figure out how big is that really? I mean, there's a tattoo over it. Is that his arm? Is that his leg?
I drilled into the article that's on this one, and it's fairly sizable. It looks like about an inch and a half to 2 inches, or maybe two and a half centimeters square.
Yeah, and it's like, see, I want to pick something with some rounded corners, for crying out loud.
Yeah, this thing's going to poke through soon.
You know, you rub up against something, that's going to go, ugh.
Ugh. Yeah.
No.
Yeah. At least, you know, round the edges, like, you know, the pebble watch we've got.
Yeah. You remember the guys over at...
thank goodness.
Over our Paul.com. You know, they were doing that with the RFID. I can't remember if it was Larry or Paul, but one of them was doing...
Were they doing that, or were they doing the magnets in the fingers?
No, they were doing the RFID tag in the webbing of between your thumb and your finger. And you know, I'm like, well, that's pretty benign. You know, there's no power. You don't have to worry about the battery rupturing or some weird crap. So, you know, and you can use it for stuff. I could use it with my phone or something, you know, maybe put an NFC chip in there. But you get the idea. You could do some useful stuff with it. You know, it seems like there's an end of life kind of thing, and I'd have to cut my skin and pull it back out.
Blech.
Yeah, Blech.
Gives me the hibbly jibblies.
And I would imagine you'd have to take some antibiotics unless you cleaned it really well. I don't know.
Well, if it's in like a silicone or something protective skin, then you probably wouldn't have to.
Okay. Well,
remember the good old days when we used to chop up the shows and take out little sound bites and put them together in funny ways? This would probably be one of those.
Yeah, maybe.
So on that, we're going to take a quick break, and we will be right back with the Remember When, the Media Corner, and we'll start the show with that. So we'll be back in just a moment. Stick with us.
What was the iPod, the tiny little iPod called?
The Nano? Ico? The Femto?
Groucho? Harpo? Chico?
I think it was called the Gummo. Nano. Micro. The digital Marx Brothers. You know, Marx Brothers 2.0.
I'll have to go buy some more mints.
I mentioned that I'm out of work.
Just leave them to twist slowly in the wind here.
I knew if I invited you guys for something, you laugh.
Hi, this is Dean Hagel from The X-Files, and you're listening to Technorama with Chuck and Craig.
I want to believe.
Welcome back. We just want to remind you that every week we do the show live on Google Plus, usually on Sunday night, but sometimes people get sick or have a weekend out or lots. So usually we're around Sunday night. If you happen to be around, join us 9:30 Eastern Time, 6:30 Pacific. And see and hear us show this do. I mean, hear us do this show.
What?
Do this show.
You live don't, and you don't sound convinced.
I don't sound like I can put two verbs together today. Just circle Technorama Podcast, Craig or me on Google Plus. And, you know, or watch the other social networks. You know where to find us. Go over to chuckjet.com/technorama, and we'll make the announcement when this comes out. Oddly enough, this is one of those weeks where we're recording it on Monday night because of what kind of circumstances? Well, they're not exactly unexplained.
Yeah. No, I wasn't feeling 100%. I didn't want to, you know, drag the listener down with me.
So, and I said, oh, but wait, I'm traveling. So hence the hotel cast this week and the lack of audio quality. So we apologize to you, gentle listener, for...
No, we don't apologize for nothing. Just take it.
You know what should be apologized for?
What's that?
In the Remember When segment. Oh, just play that wonderful music because it goes so well with this.
Okay, let's start it now.
Eight unfortunate vintage candy wrappers. These people should be apologizing. We have two brands by themselves aren't too bad, but put together, well, you never know. We have the Whiz Milk Chocolate and the Plop Coffee Chocolate. Whiz and Plop.
Plop.
And for children who are trying to kick the candy habit, I suppose, we have Maple and Walnuts Cold Turkey Candy. Looks like you could probably take the wrapper and roll your own cigarette in it.
Yeah. Thing.
I like the next one, my own personal favorite, Crackheads! Chocolate-covered espresso, because we're all addicted to something is the subtitle, you know, on that one.
That sounds like it could be, an innocent candy until the drug addiction came around.
Look closely at that wrapper. Do you see that little molecular chain on there? I believe that's caffeine. And right above it, it says, Nerd Alert! And it's got a bar graph or column graph of some type on there.
Here, let me see if I can... Here you go.
I'm not sure what's up with that.
See if you can see it right there.
Yeah. Nerd Alert. I think that's caffeine, if I'm not mistaken. Julie can confirm that for me.
Yeah, probably.
So, the next one, I'm not even going to touch with a 10-foot pole. And at one point, Peter Paul, the makers of Mounds and Almond Joy, came out with another one called Three Chubbies.
Oh, that one. Oh, which one were you talking about? It's Crack
Three
Kids
Chubbies.
Three Chubbies. You know, in his day, it was probably just completely innocent. Now,
I remember these candies called Chocolate Babies, but apparently they were really technically called Chocolate Flavor Babies.
You know, these do look familiar to me, but it's kind of weird.
Yep, yep. And, you know, back in the day, I'm a children of the Cold War. Do you remember Fallout Shelters?
Yes, I do. Well, I haven't been in one, but yes, I am familiar with it.
You remember seeing the signs, though, with the yellow and black and the triangles?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they were all... You just don't see those signs anymore. You know, I kind of... I have a strange fascination to go out and find a Fallout Shelter sign on eBay and put it in the studio.
I bet you could find one on eBay.
I think that'd be cool. I wonder how much they go for. Probably more than I'm willing to pay. I've been watching too much of the American Pickers lately.
Yeah.
But anyway, back in the atomic days, there was a great candy called Atomic Fireballs because, you know, nuclear everything was cool back then, I guess.
Yeah, by Terrapin.
So there was another candy called Kilzo, K-I-L-Z-O.
You know what? This does look like a soap pad kind of box.
It says right on here.
Yeah.
You'll kill yourself scrubbing with this soap pad. Is it a soap pad or is it candy?
That's it. Let's just confuse them.
Candy disguised as a toxic cleaning product. What could possibly go wrong?
Yeah, it's like, you know, it's not like they made a candy like that looks like the wrapper like Kit Kat. It's like they made a wrapper that looks like a cleaning product.
It does. So kids are going to go in the cupboard and start eating the real cleaning pads, SOS pads and whatnot.
Yeah.
No, but the best for some 1965 Pez, you know, the ones who make like the characters where you pop the head up and eat the candy.
Absolutely.
Those hard, chalky, rectangular things. They made a replica of James Bond's Walter PPK. And the idea was, hey, kids, stick this gun in your mouth and pull the trigger.
I could just see some depressed marketing. You know what I should do? Just make a gun where people, kids, stick it in their mouths.
If I can't make it through this world, I'm going to take a few people with me.
Hmm.
No, this actually made it to market.
You know,
I'll bet these are highly collectible right now.
You know, this reminds me of the Boba Fett that they took off the market because it had a little thing it would shoot off the rocket. So, but they'll take that off the market, but not the gun you stick in your mouth and shoot.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure the gun came off the market pretty quickly when they saw kids sticking Pez guns in their mouth.
Yeah, I don't care what era that was from, but that's just not a good idea.
How could that possibly get by anybody?
Well, it did.
That's what I'm wondering, how collectible those actually are right now. And our final story in the Remember When is how physics ended the nighttime radio war between the U.S. and Mexico. This is a fascinating article. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but apparently back in the early 1900s, radio frequencies were pretty wide open, and anybody could have anything they wanted at the time, you know, as long as it was in that AM range or eventually the FM range. And whoever had the most power on their station, the most watts for broadcasting, would win. And what's even more interesting is the way that, I believe it's AM radio, you can bounce it off the ionosphere. But during the daytime, the ionosphere is bombarded with a lot of radiation and whatnot from the sun. So I remember this as a kid. You could pick up stations from far away mm-hmm. at nighttime that you couldn't get during the day. I lived in Marquette, Michigan, which was about 400 miles away from Chicago. At nighttime, I could pick up WLS, which was a Chicago radio station, on my AM radio. Wow. And it was very fun to listen to this station that was far away because it was unlike anything we had in the good old UP of Michigan. And this is kind of what it goes into. What would happen was people would be listening to radio stations during the day that were in English, mm-hmm. and then the Mexican radio stations would take over at night.
Oh, yeah.
So on the same frequency, you'd have this big old mess. So how did they fix this? Enter physics.
Yay, science.
Science, right. After decades of fighting, Canada, the United States, and Mexico got together to establish certain radio signals throughout the Western Hemisphere. They needed a little help from physics. They isolated which frequencies could maintain a sky wave, and a sky wave is that part that bounces off the ionosphere. So they called those frequencies clear channel stations. Anyone ever heard of clear channel? That name carries over, doesn't it?
Yes.
The stations assigned to those frequencies would be required to maintain a certain level of power at all times. And low-powered stations couldn't move in on those stations and disrupt a larger broadcast. Local low-power stations were also assigned a certain set of frequencies so their broadcasts wouldn't be overpowered by national stations. On March 29, 1941, pretty much all the radio stations in the Western Hemisphere swapped places. And at last, there was a truce. Until podcasting came along.
Yeah. Now it didn't matter.
Now we don't listen to much radio anymore.
Hey, you know, this whole thing about the signal strength and distance and everything.
Yep.
I did work in an AM station. And I remember the guy telling me about some of this, that they would get phone calls from further away because people could listen to it at a further distance at night.
Phone calls?
Yeah. You know, like if you so-and-so caller or whatever, you know, you end up getting...
Oh, yeah. Okay. So the radio stations that have call-ins.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You get longer sure. Calls from farther out. And as a matter of fact, WBT in Charlotte is one of the stronger AM stations and older ones in the U.S., I think. Well, there's older ones, but it's one of the older ones. They would routinely get calls notifications that people in Cuba could actually hear them.
Oh, wow.
From Charlotte to Cuba. So you can see the distance. Now, WBT has a pretty big signal strength, and so they can get a little further. But yeah, it was kind of interesting, all the
stories.
Would
they get call-ins from Cuba?
I think so. I remember John Hancock or somebody was talking about that, about getting some calls from long distances like Cuba or
hola, am I colored? Yes.
Yeah. We're sending a boat. No. So anyway, I just thought it was fascinating that the kind of stories you hear, because people outside of your range can hear your signal.
When's the last time you listened to AM radio?
Yeah, exactly. Every once in a while, I might flip over to it, but yeah, I don't listen to it very often.
Yeah, every once in a while, I think I tune into WTMJ to listen to something on the sports channel out of Milwaukee.
Yeah, I used to work at WGCD, which was in Chester, South Carolina. I don't know if it's still there or not. And it was a lot of fun because I got the kind of night watch, and sometimes we just make tapes and during the day and play them at night, you know, just, or we do football games on Fridays or all kinds of stuff like that. It was kind of fun.
I was just thinking of that today as I was listening to the radio thinking, you know, it's not even easy to record off the radio anymore. Remember we used to record to cassette off of radio or A-track? Yeah,
absolutely.
Forbid. Mm-hmm. And you could record your songs, but you'd also wind up getting crazy commercials and things in there. Yeah. My brother had a cassette tape, and he was recording some of his a news brief, you know, one of those little 30-second news bites.
Sure.
That said that John DeLorean is still cooling his heels in the prison.
That's funny.
And we'd listen to it about 5 years later and go, wow, he's still cooling his heels?
Yeah, they're very cold now. That's funny.
All right. Let's move on to finish up with the Geek Library. And this week in the Geek Library, we not only have books, but we have art.
Yes.
Thomas Kincaid.
Fine art.
Who is a modern artist. And if you read the comments on this blog, he gets lambasted pretty well. He does nice little scenery things that look like they belong in a hotel because they usually are found in a hotel. Thomas Kincaid is... I don't know how I would categorize him, but anyway,
it's art.
Somebody thought
it's
they
art,
would improve his art.
Well, see, for me, he's an art. Well, was he's dead now, but he was an artist who did, like, he was the painter of light, and he would paint these paintings that had nice little
cottages hues in the wood.
Yeah, exactly. And at one point, well, see, I kind of in my mind, he turned into somebody that was just pumping out prints for almost like cards, but anyway,
right.
So somebody doctored this, somebody upgraded them,
doctored them up, and they did a pretty darn good job because they put in Star Wars characters and themes and whatnot.
Yeah, like AT-ATs.
So one of his cottages in the woods is on fire with stormtroopers in the foreground, or one of my favorites, the AT-ATs walking down the moonlit creek towards the cottage where it is a blast at the smithereens.
Back up to that first picture. I think that's a picture of TD-0013 kind of hanging out, doing his job.
And it looks like he blasted Bilbo's house. I don't know.
You filthy hobbit.
Bag end went up in flames.
You hobbit scum.
They've got the rancor in the garden. You know, it's a nice flowery garden with a white picket gate, and there's a rancor in the
with a nice pile of stormtroopers out
so
front.
Lots of interesting pictures. Yeah. I would love to send one of these suckers to Fake Kinko's FedEx and hang it in this hotel room right now and leave it there.
Like in the hallway or something with the other art.
And then I'll come back in a month because I got to come back in a month for some new employee training to we got some new people joining our team and see if it's still here. Excuse me. Could I have room 727 again?
Yeah, right.
And see if the picture's still there.
Hey, pick a picture of it on the wall.
Usually people steal things from hotels. This person's leaving things. Leave the picture of the rancor and the dead stormtroopers.
That's funny.
that one would actually give you a few nightmares. That's pretty funny.
Actually, the one down below
pretty much wraps up the show. Yeah.
The one down below with the Star Destroyer coming out and the clouds behind the cottage. That would be that one or the one with the AT-ATs might be subtle enough where people are just gonna walk by it and not realize it.
And there's a couple of Star Destroyers in the picture, but yeah, I'm pretty – the AT-ATs, I think, would be subtle. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That would be a good one to leave in the hotel room.
Actually, you know what?
If I just had an extra $150 laying around.
Well, the versions of the images on the website are a little larger. You might get away with printing something bigger.
Maybe.
Yeah.
That's going to take us to the end of the show. We hope you enjoy our artwork and our, if we actually knew anything about art.
I do.
We appreciate your support.
Hey, wait, I do. Look behind me.
Show us your love.
I finally got some, my pictures.
You like the artwork?
I finally got some of my pictures hung up.
Hey, you got some pictures up right above the Technorama banner.
Yeah, those are the ones awesome. I did in the photo show just the other week. You can see the little, I don't know if you recognize it, the one right above my head. That's a robot from one of the display tables at Dragon Con.
Give us a call on the listener line if you want to suggest any questions for the interview we mentioned earlier, or you have other things to recommend, suggest, or send us your links like some people did. They contributed to the show. I believe we had one of our articles. Yeah, the Captain Kirk and the Navy Destroyer was from listener John. I forgot to mention that earlier. Send that to technorama@checkchat.com. We'd love to hear from you. We're also on Twitter at C. Tomasi, at Step K. Facebook page, Technorama. You can find us there. Google Plus, YouTube, all that good stuff, all over at chuckchat.com. Click on Technorama. You'll find us there. Hey, have I mentioned it enough times?
No.
Pretty easy to figure out. And for the people who are still listening in the hall, search for Technorama on Google. Probably get booted out of this hotel.
Yeah. Back. Shut up. We're trying to... Come on.
It's 7:45 here. Who's asleep? Happy birthday.
Point.
Not happy birthday. Oh, man, I'm off track. Thanks to Mad Mar for providing the great blog content during the week. Happy birthday to all you people on the wiki that we mentioned earlier. And those who join us on the Hangout when we're around on the right night, as opposed to this night. Thank you for listening. Tell a friend about Technorama, even if they're in the hallway walking by. Yeah. And as always, a binary high five.
101. Broadcast has been successfully terminated.